Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11. The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna. And we'll read the summary here. This chapter describes how the inhabitants of Gokula left Gokula and went to Vrindavan, and how Krishna killed Vatsasura and Bakasura. When the Yamala Arjuna trees fell, they made a tremendous sound, like that of falling thunderbolts. Being surprised, Krishna's father, Nanda, and the other elderly inhabitants of Gokula went to the spot where they saw the fallen trees, and Krishna standing between them, bound to the Ulukala, the wooden mortar. They could find no cause for the trees having fallen and Krishna's being there. They thought that this might be the work of some other asura who had met Krishna on the spot, and they inquired from the playmates of Krishna about how the whole incident had taken place. The children properly described how everything had happened, but the elderly persons could not believe the story. Some of them, however, thought that it might be true, since they had already seen many wonderful incidents in connection with Krishna. Anyway, Nanda Maharaj immediately released Krishna from the ropes. In this way, at every day, at every moment, in this way, Krishna, at every day and every moment, displayed wonderful incidents to increase the parental affection of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, who thus felt both surprise and joy. The breaking of the Yamala Arjunas was one of these wonderful pastimes. One day, a fruit vendor approached Nanda Maharaj's house, and Krishna gathered some food grains with his little palms and went to the vendor to exchange the grains for fruit. On the way, almost all the grains fell from his palms, only one or two grains remaining. But the fruit vendor, out of full affection, accepted these grains in exchange for as much fruit as Krishna could take. As soon as she did this, her basket became filled with gold and jewels. Thereafter, all the elderly gopas decided to leave Gokula because they saw that in Gokula there was always some disturbance. They decided to go to Vrindavan, Brajadham. And the next day they all departed. In Vrindavana, both Krishna and Balaram, after finishing their childhood pastimes, began to take charge of the calves and send them to the pasturing grounds, Gocharana. During this time, a demon named Vatsasura entered among the calves and was killed. Another asura in the shape of a big duck was also killed. The playmates of Krishna narrated all these stories to their mothers. The mothers could not believe their children, Krishna's playmates, but because of full affection, they enjoyed these narrations of Krishna's activities. So now it doesn't really matter which one we read, but we read one with a purport. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O Maharaj Parikshit, when the Yamala Arjuna's trees fell, all the coward men in the neighborhood, hearing the fierce sound of fear and fearing thunderbolts, went to the spot. So, as I said before, when we hear these pastimes, we should try to use our imagination. This is one time when you can use your imagination, that it's beneficial. It says, hearing thunderbolts, I think everyone has heard a thunderbolt, at least from a distance. I don't think anyone has been struck by a thunderbolt, have you? Ananda, have you been struck by a thunderbolt?
Not this.
Well, that's good. But so if we remember what the sound of a thunderbolt is, that spiritualizes it. We can just imagine the sound of Krishna breaking the twin Arjuna trees and making a sound like that of a thunderbolt So we can see Krishna pulling the uluka in between the trees and then hearing that sound of a thunderbolt. That makes the pastime alive. And next time you hear a thunderbolt, you remember Krishna. And the two Arjun trees. Text 2. Bhumyam na pita, Bhumyam na piti tau tatra. Dadrishur yamalarjano. Babruma mustad avigyaya. Laksham patana karanam. Bhumyam nipatitau tatra. Dadrishur yamalarjanao. Babramus tad vi avigaya. Laksham patana karanam. Bhumyam na pitita tatra. Tadrishur yamalarjanao. Babrumus tad ivagaya. Laksham patina karanam. Bhumyam na pitita tatra. Adrishor yamalarjanao. Babrumustad avigyaya. Laksham patana karanam. Ladies. Bhumyam nipatitau tatra. Adrishor yamalarjanao. Adayo. Laksham patana karanam. Bhumam patiti tau tatra. Adrishar yamalarjanao. Babrimos tadabhigaya. Laksham patana karanam. Bhum yam. On the ground. Ipatitao, which had fallen. Tatra, there. Dadrishu, all of them saw. Yamalarjuna, the twin Arjun trees. Papramu, they became bewildered. Tat, that. Avigaya, but they could not trace out. Laksham, although they could directly perceive that the trees had fallen. Patana karanam, the cause of their falling, how could it have happened all of a sudden? Translation in Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There they saw the fallen Yamala Arjuna trees on the ground. But they were bewildered because even though they could directly perceive that the trees had fallen, they could not trace out the cause for their having done so. Considering all the circumstances, had this been done by Krishna, he was standing on the spot. And his playmates describe that this had been done by him. Had Krishna actually done this? Or were they merely stories? This was a cause of bewilderment. So we can't imagine how big the Arjuna trees are. They're quite enormous. And Krishna, although when he grew up he was rather small for a kshatriya, he was only approximately, I think, 3-4 meters high, which is rather small for a kshatriya at that time. But then again, he's actually the son of Nanda Maharaj, so, and Jasoda. So when he was smaller, a baby, maybe he was only a couple of meters high. I mean, as a child, he had to grow up. So we can imagine, we could try to imagine how big the trees were. If Krishna was, say, only as a child, he was only a couple of meters high, imagine how big the trees must have been at that time. And somehow or another, these two huge trees are now falling on the ground. There's no wind. No one was cutting them down. They're just there. And the only person that was there, along with his playmates, was Krishna. So the logical conclusion was that Krishna must have been connected with it. But then Krishna to them was just a child. How could he have pulled down two big trees? So this is called Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya doesn't allow to be taken very seriously what Krishna does as a child. Because otherwise it spoils the relationship as parental love. So, it's just like, for instance, we ourselves, we're not this body, but due to the influence of Mahamaya, it's very hard for us to believe it. Even though our intelligence can tell us we're not this body, still we don't accept it. Because above the intelligence is the false ego, and as long as we're attached to the false ego, then it's practically impossible for our intelligence to actually convince us completely that we're not this body. Now, on the other hand, in Vrindavan, devotees are attached to their real ego, but the real ego doesn't allow them to be convinced that Krishna is actually God. Because their real ego is eternally that of a parent or a conjugal lover or a friend of Krishna's or a servant. So their real ego doesn't allow them to take seriously the fact that Krishna could have done anything like that. So they never believe it, really, in their hearts, that this was actually done by Krishna. So we don't have that problem. We know, if we were there, we'd say, wait a second. Isn't it obvious that Krishna did this? Don't you understand Krishna's God? Have you read the Bhagavatam? Get out of yoga maya. Grow up. Good way of getting kicked out of Vrindavan. Disturbing the peace. Just like when Krishna held up Govardhan Hill with his left pinky, it must have been quite obvious that Krishna was holding up the hill. But Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj didn't really believe it. They thought actually it was Nanda Maharaj, because Nanda Maharaj and the coward boys took their canes, hurting, and they put them against the hill, and they said they thought they were holding the hill up. So they thought, actually, Krishna was a little baby. How could he have actually held up the hill? His Nanda Maharaj and the other coward men were holding up the hill. But then it says that Krishna transferred the weight, a little of the weight of the hill, to Nanda Maharaj, and they couldn't hold it up. And the hill started to shake. And then Krishna took the weight back and it was all right. Still, they still didn't believe that Krishna was holding up the hill. Just like we may have some realization for a moment that we're eternal, we're not this body, and the next moment we're back in the illusory energy again. We don't take it seriously. So this is the mood in which the pastimes take place, and we're the observers. But we have to appreciate the residents of Vrindavan and not think, you know, that this is ridiculous. Can't they see? Don't they have any intelligence? Can't they put two and two together? Why are they so simple? So we're trying to become that simple also. But it's difficult. we think we know too much. And actually, we know very little. So, text number three. Krishna was bound by the rope to the Ulukala, the mortar which he was dragging. But how could he have pulled down the trees? Who had actually done it? Where was the source for this incident? Considering all these astonishing things, the coward men were doubtful and bewildered. Purport, the coward men were very much agitated, because the child Krishna, after all, had been standing between the two trees, and if by chance the trees had fallen upon him, he would have been smashed. But he was standing as he was, and still the things had happened. So who had done all this? How could these events have happened in such a wonderful way? These considerations were some of the reasons they were agitated, bewildered. They thought, however, that by chance Krishna had been saved by God so that nothing had happened to him. So that's the supporting. That's what they throw back on, we could say. Nanda Maharaj, which deity does he worship? He worships Narayan, yes. So Nanda Maharaj worships Narayan, and whatever amazing happens, they always think it wasn't that Krishna had done it, it was because Nanda Maharaj is worshiping Narayan, and because of his pious activities, Narayan came and saved him. So they believe in God. They don't believe Krishna is God, but they believe in God. And that all the wonderful things are happening by the mercy of Narayan. That's why when Krishna is going out to herd the cows when he grew up, Mother Jasoda was so attached to him that she wouldn't let him leave. He tried to go into the forest with the coward boys, but she would call Krishna back and adjust his clothing. And then Krishna would go and leave. Mother Jasoda would call him back and give him some sweets. And then he'd go to leave again with his coward boys. And Mother Jasoda would call him back. She was so attached to him, she just wouldn't let him leave. She told Balaram and Sudama and Sridham that they had to protect Krishna. And then Mother Jasoda let him leave, and they called him back. Mother Jasoda said, if anything gets, any trouble you get into in the forest, you find any trouble, then pray to Narayan, he'll save you. So Krishna had a little smile on his face, because he's Narayan. So this is the faith they have. They have faith in Narayan. They love Krishna, but they have faith in Narayan. That Krishna, Narayan can do all these wonderful things. That way this is all adjusted. The wonderful things happen. And ultimately they think about Narayan. So they're not atheists. They believe Narayan is ultimately the cause of everything. And therefore Narayan will protect Krishna because he's so pious. And because of the pious activities of Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan, Krishna was saved and the demons were killed. Then all the coward boys said, it is Krishna who had done this. So no one believes children. Even if they tell a lie, then people don't believe it. And if they tell the truth, they don't believe it either. And all the coward boys said, it is Krishna who has done this. When he was in between the trees, the mortar fell crosswise. And Krishna dragged the mortar, and the two trees fell down. After that, the two beautiful men came out of the trees. We have seen this with our own eyes. So it appears that the children know more than everyone else in Vrindavan. They're in on the secret. But they don't take it seriously either. They think Krishna is just one of them. How Krishna did it, they don't know. But they think, well, Krishna is powerful. That's how he did it. But we're more powerful than he is. Krishna may be powerful, but after all, Sudama with a little stick could beat him. Prabhupada, Krishna's playmates wanted to inform Krishna's father of the exact situation by explaining that not only did the trees break, but out of the broken trees came two beautiful men. All these things happened, they said. We've seen them with our own eyes. Because of intense parental affection, the coward men, headed by Nanda, could not believe that Krishna could have uprooted the trees in such a wonderful way. Therefore, they could not put their faith in the words of the boys. Some of the men, however, were in doubt. Since Krishna was predicted to be equal to Narayan, they thought it might be that he could have done it. Purport. One view was that it was impossible for a small boy like this to have done such a thing as pulling down the trees. But there were doubts. Because Krishna had been protected to equal Narayan. Therefore, the coward men were in a dilemma. We should be in the same dilemma. If that was our dilemma, we'd be doing quite well. When Anamara saw his own son bound with ropes to the wooden mortar and dragging it, he smiled and released Krishna from his bounds. Prabhupada Nandamaraj was surprised that Yashoda, Krishna's mother, could have bound her beloved child in such a way. Krishna was exchanging love with her. How then could she have been so cruel as to bind him to the wooden mortar? Nandamaraj understood this exchange of love, and therefore he smiled and released Krishna. In other words, as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, binds the living entity in fruit of activities, he binds Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj in parental affection. This is his pastime. So in the spiritual world, it is affection and love that binds everyone to Krishna. Not by Krishna's power and his potency, because he doesn't display that in Goloka Vrindavan. There are no demons to kill, because there are only rumors of demons. But there are actually no demons. There are only devotees. And the devotees, the demons that appear in the pastimes of Krishna on this planet, in the spiritual world, they are devotees. For instance, when Kali appears sometimes in Goloka Vrindavan, because the pastimes of Nitya Leela, Kali appears after many incalculable time. Kali appears again and again, but by that time everyone had forgotten about Kaliya. It's such a long, billions and trillions of lifetimes of Brahma, probably. Everyone had forgotten about Kaliya, and therefore it's a fresh pastime. And Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan subdues Kaliya, but Kaliya is actually a devotee. And so Krishna takes the gopis and has the rasa-lila on Kaliya's hoods. And then takes the clothing of the Kaliya's wives, threads it through the snake's noses, and rides Kaliya with the gopis around the Jamuna or as a pastime. And when Keshi appears, and Krishna jumps on Keshi's in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna jumps on Keshi's back and rides him around Gokula. Goloka. So there are no demons in Goloka Vrindavan, but there are rumors of demons, which make the devotees attached to Krishna to wanting to protect him. And here they appear as supposedly real demons, but they're actually just playthings for Krishna also here. It is said one of the main reasons why demons appear in Gokula Vrindavan is that because of the coward boys and Krishna, there is so much immersed in playing with each other that they forget to take lunch. But Mother Yashoda, Rohini, and others, they spend so much time preparing the lunch that Yogamaya wants them to take the lunch, the offering of their mothers. And so she sends a demon. So Krishna and the coward boys have to break their playing and kill the demon, and then Krishna and the coward boys get hungry then they take lunch. So every on time, Yogamaya sends the demon to break up the pastime so they can break for lunch. The gopis would say, if you dance, my dear Krishna, then I shall give you half a sweetmeat. They don't even give him the whole sweetmeat, just a half a sweetmeat. By saying these words, or by clapping their hands, all the gopis encouraged Krishna in different ways. At such times, although he was supremely powerful personality of Godhead, he would smile and dance according to their desire, as if he were a wooden doll in their hands. Sometimes he would sing very loudly at their bidding. This way, Krishna became completely under the control of the gopis. So that's one of the reasons why he's called Radha Damodar also. That as a small child, no, Mother Jasoda had a very hard time controlling him. There, for a time, she had to bind him with a rope in this instant to the wooden grinding mortar. But Radharani, Srimati Radharani, is so much more powerful that sometimes when Krishna is naughty, Srimati Radharani just has to glance at him and he's frozen. He can't move. That's the power of Ladini Shakti. It puts Krishna into so much pleasure, he can't even move. So therefore he's called Radha Damodar, and just like Jasoda Damodar. So Krishna is only bound by love. Otherwise, but love actually binds him. So in Goloka Vrindavan, where everyone has love for Krishna, everyone is controlling Krishna to one degree or another. But only Srimati Radharani controls him to the greatest degree, to the perfect degree. Therefore, one of the qualities of prema bhakti is that it's the only way to attract Krishna. Krishna becomes under the control of his devotee. And it puts one into unlimited bliss, pleasure. Sundarani Vishek Atma and Krishna Arkarshini. Translation, sometimes Mother Jasoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, bring this article or bring that article. Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot. And Krishna, when this ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. Sometimes, however, as if unable to raise these things, he would touch them and stand there, just to invite the pleasure of his relatives. He would strike his body with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. So these, Krishna is still a small child, but he has his ego also. It's not a false ego. But he's also under yoga maya. So no one likes to be embarrassed. So you ask someone to pick something up and they can't do it. Then it's embarrassing. So similarly, Krishna being under yoga maya could have picked up the article normally, but because he's under yoga maya, he couldn't do it. But his ego wouldn't allow him to admit defeat. Therefore, he would strike his own body with his arms to show he had sufficient strength. So Krishna is a person, and therefore he has his personality also, which is quite sweet. To the pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he could be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of Brajavasis by his childhood activities. Report that Krishna performed childhood activities to increase the pleasure of his devotees was another transcendental humor. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Brajabhuni, but also to others who were captivated by his eternal external potency and opulence. Thus the internal devotees were simply absorbed in love of Krishna, and the external devotees were captivated by his unlimited potency, were informed of Krishna's desire be submissive to his servants. So everyone wants love. Krishna also wants love. And if you're always dominating, it's very hard to invoke love of others to the fullest extent. But if you're just a little boy, depending upon your mother and father, then you get the full affection of them. Similarly, if Krishna is just an ordinary friend, then the friends will treat it, then they can love Krishna with their full heart. And that's Goloka Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. That everyone loves Krishna fully, without any impediment, without any awe or reverence. So Krishna enjoys that to the greatest extent. And he never interferes with it, eternally. And at the same time, we should appreciate that Krishna has unlimited potency, so we're a little bit more careful here. Not try to imitate him or disobey him, because that's the only way out of the illusory energy, is to become obedient to him. And we can't imitate the residents of Vrindavan, because we don't have, that has to be developed after we become liberated. After we become completely submissive and completely aware of how to serve Krishna in this world, then at some point then our natural relation with Krishna will develop. And then if we have that relationship with Krishna as a resident Vrindavan, then it'll naturally become manifested. But if we try to manifest it now, it's just imitation, and it'll just cause us to become degraded. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? For now on, and most of this 10th canto is, I guess there's some purpose, but at least Prabhupada's, it's pastimes, Leela. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. And just what we will do myself in the sense that Yog Maya is effective only on Homa Goloka, or it's effective in spiritual world too?
Yog Maya is everywhere.
Yog Maya is everywhere. So it can make us bewilder in Goloka Vrindavan.
She bewilders everyone in Goloka Vrindavan. Everyone is bewildered by Yog Maya. Goloka and Gokula also.
Oh, so it's effective in both, and it can make us forget there also in spiritual world.
Yeah, everyone forgets Krishna's God in the spiritual world. Yogamaya acts in order to help the devotee forget Krishna's opulence.
Then we can only love him, okay.
Right. Okay. They, Yogamaya doesn't put us into Maya, Mahamaya. Mahamaya puts us into illusion. Okay. That illusion is love. Is pure love, is the covering Krishna's opulence, so that we don't see him as God, we see him as simply our friend or our child. Anything else?
What about in Vaikuntha?
Vaikuntha, Yogamaya doesn't work there. Yogamaya is Purnamasi, she's a resident of Gokula, Vrindavan, and Goloka. She and Vrinda Devi every day at Vrindakund, they get together and they plan out Krishna's pastimes. But there, Krishna doesn't have his pastimes generally like that in Vaikuntha. All right. Grandaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.